I did a check, and I know everybody in here, so I'm not going to introduce myself. Does everybody know my name?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, you know my name. Hey, it's family service. Welcome, Dominique. So, we're in a series called Live the Adventure. And if maybe you haven't been here for one of the couple of the last Sundays, I just want to do a brief review before we kind of jump into the meat of our message this morning. So last week we introduced, basically 2 weeks ago, BJ introduced our vision statement, okay? Hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. So as we describe kind of, you know, we're a part of the larger body of Christ, right, here at Adventure Church. What does God have us doing here? Okay, he's about community. He's about drawing people together. What does he have us doing as a community? What does he want us doing as a community? And what we've recognized, what we've heard from him and the direction that he's given us is that he wants us to help people be restored to who they truly are, to stand in the truth of who they are in him, and then move forward in the adventure that God has, the mission that God has for them. One of the ways that we kind of explain this, need a little shift on the PowerPoint there. So one of the ways that we explain this is through five streams, and that's just a way of kind of creating an image that helps us understand how do we move into that restoration, into that relationship with God that actually brings motion and mission and intimacy with him moving forward. Walking with God is one of those streams, which we're going to talk more about today. Being restored, as I talked about, just your true identity, standing on the truth. We can have a lot of assumptions about ourselves and about God, but what is the truth, and how do we be restored to that through Christ, okay? We are warriors, so spiritual warfare is real, and we believe that. We believe that there are different influences in our lives. Sometimes the enemy of God and of us is trying to influence wrong thinking about who God is, about who we are, about who those around us are. And so we need to stand up according to Scripture. We'll talk about that. We're a family. So community is the context in which we adventure with God together. We're not isolated sheep. We're a part of a flock, a greater flock. And then we're a part of the different churches in this community. And then moving out even to the region and then to the world. So we understand community as something that's critical. And then we are on mission, is what that says. And we'll have that fixed second service. You can come back so you can read it for yourself. So those are the five streams. And this series, for the next several weeks, we're going to walk deeper into understanding what does it mean to walk in those streams at Adventure Church. Why are those the values that we have put forth as the way in which we move deeper into relationship with God? Okay. Last week, BJ did part one of walking with God. I would encourage you to go back, listen to that. If you haven't listened to it, he did a lot of scriptural work to kind of show the foundation of why we say we can have a conversational relationship with God. We can have an intimacy with him where we're walking with him daily in our daily lives, not just the big stuff, not just the crises that come up in our lives, but in everything, he's with us. Okay, the three categories he gave were walking with God in his word, in his written word, okay, and how we experience him in that. He talked about his voice, so hearing God, actually a response from God in communication, not just answers to questions, but actually God even enlightening us on how he sees us, okay? Talked about the importance of that lining up with the word. And then our voice. We have a voice that we can speak to God. We can communicate with God. So today I'm gonna walk in those three categories with you a little bit deeper and give some application to that, some examples. What does it look like in our lives? Before I do that, I want to have a conversation about the idea of relationship with God, because what we bring into this idea of walking with God are assumptions about him, our assumptions about how we relate to him, even where God is physically, are really play into what our experience of walking with God is going to be like. I want to show this clip to open that conversation up. This is from the War Room, And in the movie The War Room, Miss Clara is an elderly woman who challenges a young woman on her faith by asking some key questions and really trying to get down to what is your relationship with God really like? Let's watch this and then talk about it.
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area. Wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee. So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need
it. Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
All right. So she's touching on an important point, though, because we all have an understanding of where our relationship is at with God. And I think Miss Clara is getting to a deeper point, which is there's more, okay? So if I were to ask you that question and put it in the context of, isn't that a scary picture? Put it in the context of when you sit to pray, when you just sit before God and you're praying with God. Just imagine that. If it helps you to close your eyes, you close your eyes. But where do you picture God being? Where are you talking to talk to God, to communicate with God? And just, you know, nobody answer out loud. Just think about, don't think about what the right answer is. Think honestly about, you know, this challenged me when I asked myself this question. So before we talk about walking with God in the application phase, which is kind of what we're moving into this morning, we've got to align ourselves with the truth of positionally where we're at with God. Or we're going to continue to be frustrated. Anybody here ever been frustrated in trying to walk more closely with God? Maybe frustrated with trying to hear his voice. Okay? That seems to be a particular category that we get frustrated in because we don't feel like we have a lot of control over that one. Maybe we can control reading the word, or we can control talking to God, but hearing from him. So our understanding of our position with God is super important. Okay? So communication is something that we're talking about in this stream at Adventure of Walking with God. Communication is really critical. But communication can happen from a distance, right? Two armies warring against each other can communicate with each other. So does communication mean healthy, intimate relationship necessarily by itself? No. You can have communication with people that you're not very close with, even distance-wise. So sometimes we can have this understanding, and maybe some of us, in answering that question for ourselves, picture God up in the clouds somewhere. Okay? We picture him up in heaven, and we're sending up our prayers to God, right? Kind of like putting a message in a bottle and throwing it into the sea and hoping it gets to the other side to God, and maybe he'll answer it. And you'll be watching and watching for that return, for that answer. So there's something more than communication, though communication absolutely is a part of this stream of walking with God. And then as we come into relationship with God, so even, as Scripture says, even while we were enemies, Christ died for us. Okay? So he did the initiation, okay, of the relationship. We respond by receiving what he did on the cross for our sins. Okay? And then we come into relationship with him. But now this is what we're going to look at, is what did we come into? Did we come into a place of being, you know, across a big sea from God, or down here on earth and looking up and trying to see through the clouds to see God? No, there's this communion, but communion represents our experience of relationship and intimacy with him. And communion can actually fluctuate. Our experience of communion can fluctuate, not based on God, not based on him, but based on how we live out our life, how we walk in the righteousness that he's given us. And we can choose to be sinful. We can choose to do sin. And that can affect how we experience God in relationship. Okay? Because we choose. God's here, and we choose to go over here, and we feel like there's this distance. Okay? God's not going anywhere. Okay? But what's more important is to get deeper even than communion. And that's what I want to chat about. And that's union with Christ. Okay? So union with Christ never changes. When you receive Christ, there is a union that happens with you and God. This is something that maybe we don't, some of us maybe do, but maybe a lot of us don't give a lot of thought to in our daily lives, in our walking with him, okay, in our prayer life, where we picture God being is this union, okay? But if we camp on this concept, and I'm not going to throw all the scriptures up, I'm going to throw the addresses of some scriptures up, I'd encourage you, write them down. Just be like, I want to dig into this more. I'm still digging into it more. It's a huge concept that's super important to how we experience walking with God. John 17 is that conversation where Jesus is praying to the Father, and he covers it all. He's like, the Father and me, I'm in the Father. I pray that they would be in us, and I pray that I would be in them. And he's just describing this unity of us with God, of Jesus in us, of us in Jesus. I mean, he says it all in that passage. John 15, 1 through 6 is this idea of the vine and the branches. Okay, not a picture of a vine, God, a grapevine, and then us planted in the dirt next to him, you know, as the little vine. No, it's a branch that's grafted in to the vine. And the only way that that branch produces fruit is that the sap, the life of the vine flows into the branch. It's called abiding. It's called remaining in our English translations. And so that's actual life. Now, as you can see, as you start to move more into the truth of what Scripture says about your relationship with God, you might start to open up a little bit more to the idea that, wow, walking with God could really be an intimate relationship if I really walk in this. On this idea of unity, 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3 are incredible in teaching us that we're to have the mind of Christ. It says in chapter 2, who knows the thoughts of somebody but their spirit? I don't know the thoughts that Steve has right now. I can try to read his face. And he looks like he's happy, no? But his spirit knows his thoughts. And then Paul teaches, guess what? You've been given the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to live in you. So you're capable of having the mind of God, okay? The mind of Christ can be yours. Can you imagine living life with the thoughts, with the mind of Christ? So if somebody says something to you, your reaction is coming from the mind of Christ, okay? If there's a situation that you need to address, you act and address that situation from the mind of Christ and having that unity and that being in step at that level with God. That's available to us. But in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about this progression of maturity, okay? So established in unity when we receive Christ, now we get to start walking into the maturity of that. And he says you start by drinking milk, okay? And then you move into eating meat. And that's the picture he gives. I don't know how vegans feel about Paul's description, but he's saying that eating meat represents being mature spiritually, okay? I'm not going to get into that argument, but what you see is the concept that he's giving us here is there is a progression of maturity, okay? So it could be that your experience of walking with God right now is not as much as it will be if you continue to press into God and to walk in this stream. It could be possible that there is more available to you. According to Paul, it is possible, okay? Maybe you're eating, you know, ground up food now. You know, you're eating baby food. Maybe you're more advanced and you are eating steak. But there's a progression towards intimacy and unity, not establishing unity, but living out of what's already there. Faith like Christ. Okay, this is a challenge. You remember the story in Matthew 8 where the disciples are on the boat and the storm's rocking the boat and they're all freaked out and Jesus is taking a nap, you know? And they come and wake him up and then what do they say? They say, Jesus, save us. We're all going to drown. So they come to Jesus with this great faith, okay? Incredible faith in Jesus to save them from the storm. They knew what to do, wake Jesus up because Jesus could do something. And what is Jesus' reaction? He says, why do you have such little faith? Why are you guys fearful? I mean, why doesn't he say, wow, what great faith you have to come wake me up. You knew that I would calm this storm. Good job, guys, and pat him on the back. No, he rebukes them. Because he's calling them to something deeper. He's calling them to not just have faith in him. He does ask for that, but to have his faith. Okay? That's the one-mindedness with Christ, okay, to share the same faith. That's the union with him, being a branch that has the same life of God flowing through it, attached to the vine, okay? So he's calling us up to that. John 14. Oh, yeah, John 14 is where John 14 is where Jesus then says, if you have faith in me, so he is calling us to have faith in him, you will do the same things I am doing, and even greater things will you do. So you see, it's so much bigger than just have faith in my faith, okay, kind of concept that he's portraying to us and to his disciples. He's like, no, join me in unity. Have my faith and live out of that. So just to set kind of that groundwork for what we're talking about as we move into those three categories of the word, hearing his voice, and talking to him, this is super important because it basically decides how far you're going to walk into this stream, what your assumptions are of this, how much you're aligned with the truth of God's word in this. Again, I would encourage you, dig into these verses for yourself because we can have a devotion to God's word. And we can almost get to a point where we worship what the word says, but we don't live out what it says. Okay? We don't do what it says. We just know what it says. And we've got to move past that into really believing that that's true. If it's true that I can have the mind of Christ, I'm all over that. I want that. I'm going to chase after God for that with everything. I'm going to believe that that's true. Okay? If I can be a vine, if I can be a branch grafted into the vine, then I want that. I want the life of God flowing through me. His spirit lives in me. When I pray, I want to know that he's with me. And that's even further than he's walking beside me. I think as humans, that image helps, right, to picture God walking beside us and we're walking like Adam with God in the cool of the day. But when we say walking with God, it starts to take kind of some of the strange idea of just talking to God in the moment when you're going through life, when you're experiencing him, even hearing him and his direction in your life, when you start to think about the fact that he's living inside you. So let's look at the first one, his word. Psalm 119 is amazing because it's a picture of somebody who walks with God through his word. Okay, the person who wrote Psalm 119 is in love with God and his word and the testimonies that tell of who God is and the commandments that God gives to lead you down a road of life to the full. Here's just a little excerpt. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. And there's like 176 verses in Psalm 119. If you can just sit down and read the whole thing in one sitting, you'll walk away from that saying, wow, I want that love for God's word, for his commands. And it talks about loving his testimonies too. So just reading the things that he's done. And we have the New Testament to go with that too now, and all the testimony there of what God's done, and loving that. So what does that look like, kind of practically speaking? Letting his word direct your life is important, okay? That's walking with God through his word. So like I said, not just studying, absolutely studying and understanding what his word has to say. But if there's no reaction to it, if there's no action in what you're reading, then you're just filling your head with knowledge. And, I mean, we know even Satan had an incredible understanding of what God's word said, to the point where he was confident enough to try and use the word of God against Jesus. Okay? But we have to somehow move past that type of knowledge of Scripture into a living knowledge of Scripture, and that's where it looks like walking with God in Scripture. A lot of times it's helpful to memorize. BJ probably talked about this last week, but memorizing Scripture and putting that in your heart, and then the Holy Spirit living in you can bring that up at the right moment. And that comes from just filling your heart with the Word of God. Sometimes it's helpful to read large chunks of Scripture. Sometimes it's helpful to slow way down. Some of us read too much in one sitting all the time. You can sit in a couple of verses, and God can just speak truth to you for hours in those few verses, and to the point where it comes to life in your situations, and God brings you back to that. Walking with God in his word is important because it creates this plumb line for the other ways that you walk with God. It starts to affect how you pray and how you speak to God even, and the truths that you declare about God, about yourself, about your brothers and sisters in Christ, about the person that you're praying for. Because the word of God reveals truths about identity. It reveals truths about the spiritual realm, truths like we just talked about your union with God. And that affects how you pray. It will affect it if you really believe those truths in Scripture. One story that comes to mind for me concerning God's word and how he uses that sometimes. I remember a few years back, our family was going through a pretty serious health crisis. And Star had, a month before this incident, Star had heard God kind of illuminate. I don't know if you ever had this experience, but you read Scripture, and sometimes just a particular verse stands out to you. In that day, in that moment, the Spirit is just speaking to you something from the message of that verse. And Star a lot of times will write that verse out when that happens to her, this illumination happens, and she'll stick it somewhere, okay? So we've got these verses stuck different places in the house, you know, on the mirror, you know, in the bathroom or wherever it is. So she had gotten Isaiah 41:10. And so she wrote out Isaiah 41:10 and stuck it on the wall in our bedroom, okay? And she'd also been talking with her dad around that same time period, and he had said something to her that kind of jumped out. And he just said, you know, Star, God is with you. And so that phrase, because of what she was going through and how God was walking us through it, just God is with you. She wrote that on a piece of paper. And she's got quotes and things from people too. You know, maybe some of your guys' quotes are on our walls. So she wrote, God is with you. And she stuck that next to the Isaiah 41:10. And so a month later, it's been on the wall for a month. She was talking on the phone. to a doctor and getting some really hard news. And as she hung up the phone and she's crying and she's just like, what am I going to do? And she's feeling this fear and despair and all these different emotions that aren't from God settling in. She heard God through just a prompting. He said, lift up your eyes. She's like, lift up my eyes. She looked up. And all of that month, everything coming down to that moment, she's sitting right in front of that scripture on the wall. And she looked up, and there it was, Isaiah 41:10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's walking with God in his word and allowing him, that's interacting with his word, right? It's not just, oh, there's my Bible and I need to read that regularly to be a good Christian. And there's a life to walking in his scripture that you can have if you're willing to fight for it and to press into it. A man can starve in a room full of bread if he never eats any, right? Can you picture that? Picture a person starving to death in a room up to their chin with bread, because they never eat any of it. And that's kind of the what we experience, or the dynamic we experience when the dusty Bible just sits there and we don't interact with God's word. Another way that we walk deeper with God in this union, remember, stay there in this idea that we have this union with God, okay? Not a religion. Not a God just sitting up on a throne and we're way down here and hopefully he can hear me. Okay, he's right here living in us. His voice, okay? Look at this scripture and try to see how many times do you see God speaking to his followers in this verse. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach to the Macedonians, or something that it says there. We got to fix that one too. Okay? So, how many times do you see God directing by his Spirit in that verse? Class? Three, at least three. There might be more. But we see direction. Okay, we see specific direction. Okay, Paul couldn't turn to the Old Testament scriptures to know those things. Okay, so if you have this mindset that God only directs by his word to your specific situations in life, this isn't what we see. And this is just one example that I pulled out, okay? And there's examples in the Old Testament of God speaking all the time, okay? These aren't exceptions. These are examples of what it looks like to walk with God. Now, did anything that God spoke to this group of disciples who are going around, they're actually bringing messages to the different churches and then also evangelizing, does anything that God spoke to them contradict the word of God, the written word of God? No. But look at that. The Holy Spirit kept them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. The Holy Spirit kept them from doing a good thing, right? We actually need God's input sometimes because there's a lot of good things that we could be doing. How do you choose which one? You just pick one? Or does God maybe want to speak into that and give you some direction on which good thing he would have you do? And the good thing he had them do was go to Macedonia and preach there instead of the province of Asia. I asked John to just come up and kind of give an example from his life of what this part of walking with God looks like.
Good morning. Am I on? There we go. Okay, good morning. Yeah, so just a quick background. I had, you know, I've been Christian for 20, 30 years, but very little emphasis on this type of, you know, talking with God. So after reading the actually that Eldridge book, the Walking with God book, and actually just being at Adventure really in the last couple of years. God, it's just been great to have a growing conversational relationship with him. And so a specific story. Some of you may remember Testimony Sunday, I don't know, earlier this year. After a long, I was working at Microsoft on a contract as a consultant, and it abruptly ended in December. And so here I am jumping into the new year with no work and nothing on the horizon. And I had a number of firms trying to place me. And there's fear and anxiety, right? And that's in a lot of my history, is just sort of fear and anxiety. And I really was pressing in with God and asking him specific things. Things like, Lord, you know, and this is just, you know, during prayer time. And Lord, what should I do here? Should I look for a full-time employment? You know, go back to work for a company full-time. Instead of doing contracting work, and or specifically, like, you know, should I take a role? I've got a number of roles that are being presented, but they don't sound right. They don't feel right. Should I take one of those just to get some money coming in? You know, even though it doesn't feel right. And so, in asking these questions specifically to the Lord, and I'm really in my mind hearing things like, "Be calm. Don't worry. I've got it. Trust me." And the trust is really cool because trust has been, it really started early this year, has been a real theme. I keep hearing trust, trust, trust. And so it's just been something that I've been just meditating on, camping on. But so trust is really cool. But other things like, I'll work it out. Don't take the first thing that comes along out of fear. I will tell you which engagement is the right one. So those actual words, it coming from the Lord. And so, and it just, cool. It turns out that, you know, it took until May. I didn't work until May. But that particular engagement ended up being perfect. I mean, unbelievably perfect. The other thing that I'd heard during this time was encouragement to start a business. Well, that particular engagement, the way that worked out, it allowed me to keep working on my business. So I keep hearing God, work on a business, work, you know. And so, really clear direction. And the big takeaway is it's been a wild ride this year. It's been up and down. I've been in and out of full-time work. I've been working on this business. It's been a very different year for me and for us. But it feels right because I keep hearing the Lord just encouraging us along in those words. So very, very cool. Very cool.
Cool. Thanks. You can keep that.
Okay.
I got my own.
Yay.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that's been a joy in my relationship with God is watching my kids enter into that, okay? So at a young age, and sometimes it's asking for direction. Sometimes it's asking for help. I remember early on, my kids were just toddlers, just talking. And they'd come to me, they'd lost one of their toys or their blanket or whatever it is they're looking for. And they've been looking all over and they're just worn out. And I'm like, well, have you asked God where it is? I think God probably knows where it is. And they'll pray and ask God. And I have incredible stories of them coming right back to me. And God told me to go look under my bed in the far corner, and there it was. I don't know if it was there before, but maybe God just put it there and then sent them there. They've done it when they've kicked a ball out in the woods, and they've looked all over, and they come to me. I'm like, well, ask God for direction. It's tuning into his voice. And learning. Is that a critical thing if they find their blanket or not? Sometimes. But it, when the pressure's on, if that's when you wait to try and hear God's voice. No connection. There's this odd relationship with God where he's right there with you and you don't converse. Okay? Talk about awkward silence. If you're not talking to him and he's not speaking back to you in different ways. Okay? It could be through Janice. At Women's, I heard, gave some great examples through dreams, visions, a thought, a scripture that he brings up, you know, like a star. That was God speaking too. Through nature, a circumstance, maybe a song, okay? Don't box it up. It has to look a certain way and get frustrated because you're not hearing God in just this specific way. And it's not always just about direction. Sometimes it's just God confirming what we already know in his word. Try asking God a question you already know the answer to. Do you love me, God? If you're hearing anything other than yes, then you're not hearing God. It's your own voice. It's your own misconceptions. It's the enemy. When our son Bear was really little, I think he was 3 years old, he had an amazing experience that was just like the story of Samuel when he was a kid and he was hearing God speak. He came into our bedroom at night and said, "Mom, Dad, did you call my name?" We're like, "No, Bear, we didn't call your name. Go back to bed." He went back to bed and he came back in a few minutes. "Mom, Dad, did you call my name again?" And we kind of look at each other like, you know, kind of the hair standing up on the back of your neck. We're like, "No, but we think it might be God. Why not, if he says your name again, say, 'Here I am. What do you want to say to me, God?'" And so he went back to bed and he didn't come back in the rest of the night. And the next morning, we're like, "Bear, what's up? You know, did God say your name or anything?" He's like, "Yeah. He said my name again. I said what you told me to. And then he said he loves me." And we're like, "Wow." And that kind of broke open the idea that this isn't something that's only available to some people. If you're abiding in Christ, if he lives in you, okay, this isn't a, this guy's got this gift and this guy's got, no. We're, all of us can converse with God. Okay, real quick. Our voice is extremely important in this as well. I talked about awkward silence. Okay, we have awkward silences in our conversations, right? Sometimes everyone's talking. Yeah, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? So imagine now your thinking is set on the truth, okay, that you have this union with God and that his Holy Spirit lives in you. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? He dwells in you. And you go through life and you're not talking to him, okay? Imagine somebody just walking right there with you, the best picture I can think of, and they just follow you everywhere and there's no conversation going on. You're not talking to them at all. That's not what God meant for us in our lives. You know, I don't think anybody's experiencing God in that way, but that's kind of a picture of showing, you know, how awkward that would be. Nehemiah is a great example of a man who just flows in his conversation with God and how he speaks to God. And this little excerpt says, "Then the king said to me," so he goes before this king and he's asking for permission to go back and help rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. "What are you requesting?" Okay, so how he answers here could be life or death for him if he makes the king mad. And then he said, "So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king," that's almost simultaneous, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." Okay? So, speaking to God, have you ever been talking to a person and talking to God at the same time? Or while they're talking back to you, you're praying for them. Or you're praying for wisdom in how to respond when they finish their sentence. That's that flow of talking with God that's walking with him in relationship. That's that, and those times you're tapping into that understanding of union with God. He's right there, and you can talk to him. Worship and praise, which we're going to do here in a minute, Nick. Worship and praise is speaking to God. It should be. If you're not thinking about the fact that I'm actually speaking these words to the Lord, I'm singing them. But I'm singing them out loud as truth to him that I mean. That's communication with God when we praise and when we worship him. I think getting out of a mode of just talking to God, about a circumstance that you need him to come through in, okay? Like recognizing even out loud. And again, you know, I'm always bringing these examples of how my wife does these things way better than I do, but it's true. You know, recognizing in nature the beauty of God and speaking it out loud. "Wow, God, you made that tree. It's beautiful in the fall and it's bright orange. Good job. That's really cool, God. You made that." But we don't, you know, sometimes we're just silent. I'm just like, cool tree, you know, or cool tree, but not talking to God about it. And so I think if you're willing to just start to communicate with God outside of just something you need breakthrough in, some kind of crisis that's going on, it becomes more like a relationship. Because if you have relationships in your life and all you talk about is the problems and the solutions that you need for those problems, that's not a real intimate relationship, okay? Nick, you guys can come up and lead us in that or start setting up. There's a few resources that you could take a next step with in this because, you know, next week we're going to move into talking about restoration, the next stream, okay? Not enough time to cover actually moving into this. Maybe this morning you're like, wow, you know, my perceptions of this union and actually living it out, I have room to grow in that, and I want to. This is a good resource because it has a study guide with it. There's some available in the back. You can order it as well. And it's going to walk you through a couple of months of just journaling, some really, you know, good questions to ask yourself, you know, looking into some of the scriptures that talk about this at a deeper level. It's family service this morning. Another resource that I wanted to offer is this book that I wrote, okay? I'm not just trying to sell my own stuff here. This is the stream that I'm most passionate about. And several years ago, I even, to the point where I wanted my kids to get this concept. And so this book is about the stream of walking with God. It's about the difference between walking with God in life versus going out and doing things for God and reporting back to Him. Look what I did, look what I did. But actually walking with God. So that's available in the back as well. There's a suggested donation for this book of $10. I just want to say if you don't have money, please just take a book because I want people to be experiencing this stream at a deeper level. So you guys can start playing. You're going to lead us in worship. A couple of questions to ask yourself, though. First question is just, have you entered into this union with God? If you haven't received Christ, if you haven't taken that step, that's a step that you need to take to be able to walk in this stream at a deeper level than just distance communication. So I would encourage you, please come talk to me if you want to take that step this morning. The other one is, think about these resources. Think about maybe other ideas or steps that you could take to actually start having this daily walk with God as we sing the song.
Oh God, you are mine. and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Would you join with me in prayer? Jesus, as we walk in union with you, Lord, would you reveal yourself to us in new and exciting ways? And Lord, as we turn to you in simple things, in hard things, in big things and small things, Lord, you continue to make yourself known. And so, Lord, this time we give to you. We give to you our offerings. We praise you and we thank you and worship you. Pray, Lord, that you would use these gifts. And Lord, we give not just our tithes and offerings to you, Lord, but we give with them our hearts, because we want to be in union with you. And so, Lord, would you multiply this offering? Would you make it go further? And Lord, would you take with it our hearts? We thank you and we praise you for what you're doing. We praise you for the vision that you've given Adventure and where we're going next and the opportunity to be a part of it. And we worship you, and Lord, we invite you, walk step by step with us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close our service, there's an offering basket in the back. You can drop your offering there. You can give online or through our app. Join us next door for donuts and coffee. And as always, turn in your connection cards. You can turn them in the basket, or you can fill out a connection card through our app.